said the BFG. Go on, you snipsy little winkle. Have a go.
Sophie took a small nibble.
Ugh, she spluttered. Oh, no, oh, gosh, oh, help! She spat it out quickly. It tastes of frog skins, she gasped. And rotten fish! Worse than that! Cried the BFG, roaring with laughter. To me, it's tasted of clock coachers and slime wanglers! Do we really have to eat it? Sophie said.
You do, unless you is wanting to become so thin you will be disappearing into a thick ear.
Into thin air, Sophie said. A thick ear is something quite different. Once again, that sad, winsome look came into the BFG's eyes.
Words, he said, is oh such a twitch-tickling problem to me all my life. So you must simply try to be patient and stop squibbling. As I am telling you before, I know exactly what words I am wanting to say, but somehow or other, they is always getting squiff-squiddled around.
That happens to everyone, Sophie said.
Not like it happens to me, the BFG said. I is speaking the most terrible wigglish.
I think you speak beautifully, Sophie said.
You do? Cried the BFG, suddenly brightening. You really do?
Simply beautifully, Sophie repeated.
Well, that is the nicest present anybody is ever giving me in my whole life, cried the BFG. Are you sure you is not twiddling my leg?
Of course not, Sophie said. I just love the way you talk.
How wondercrump, cried the BFG, still beaming. How whoopsie splunkers. How absolutely squiffling. I is all of a stutter.
Listen, Sophie said, we don't have to eat snozcumbers. In the fields around our village, there are all sorts of lovely vegetables, like cauliflowers and carrots. Why don't you get some of those next time you go visiting? The BFG raised his great head proudly in the air.
I is a very honourable giant, he said. I would rather be chewing up rotsom snozcumbers than snitching things from other people.
You stole me, Sophie said.
I did not steal you very much, said the BFG, smiling gently. After all, you is only a tiny little girl.
The Blood Bottler. Suddenly, a tremendous thumping noise came from outside the cave entrance, and a voice like thunder shouted,
Runt, is you there? Runt, I is hearing you jabbling. Who is you jabbling to, Runt?
Look out, cried the BFG. It's the Blood Bottler.
But before he had finished speaking, the stone was rolled aside, and a 50-foot giant, more than twice as tall and wide as the BFG, came striding into the cave. He was naked, except for a dirty little piece of cloth around his bottom. Sophie was on the tabletop. The enormous, partly eaten snozcumber was lying near her. She ducked behind it. The creature came clumping into the cave and stood towering over the BFG.
Who was you jabbling to in here just now? He boomed.
I is jabbling to myself, the BFG answered. Pilful fez, shouted the Blood Bottler. Bug swallop, he boomed. You is talking to a human being. That is what I is thinking.
No, no, cried the BFG.
Yes, yes,
boomed the Blood Bottler.
I is guessing you has snitched away a human being and brought it back to your
bunghole as a pet. So now I is winkling it out and guzzling it as extra snacks before my supper.
The poor BFG was very nervous. There is no one in here, he stammered. Why don't you just leave me alone?
The blood bottler pointed a finger as large as a tree trunk at the BFG.
Runty little scum screwer, he shouted. Piffling little swish figgler, squimpy little bottle wart, prunty little pog swizzler. I is now gonna search the primroses.
He grabbed the BFG by the arm.
And you is gonna help me do it. Us together is going to winkle out this tasteful little human bean, he shouted.
The BFG had intended to whisk Sophie off the table as soon as he had got the chance and hide her behind his back. But now there was no hope of doing this. Sophie peered around the chewed-off end of the enormous snozcumber, watching the two giants as they moved away down the cave. The blood bottler was a gruesome sight. His skin was reddish-brown. There was black hair sprouting on his chest and arms and on his stomach. The hair on his head was long and dark and tangled. His foul face was round and squashy-looking. The eyes were tiny black holes. The nose was small and flat, but the mouth was huge. It spread right across the face, almost ear to ear, and it had lips that were like two gigantic purple frankfurters lying one on top of the other. Craggy yellow teeth stuck out between the two purple frankfurter lips, and rivers of spit ran down over the chin. It was not in the least difficult to believe that this ghastly brute ate men, women, and children every night. The blood bottler, still holding the BFG by the arm, was examining the rows and rows of bottles.
You and your pibbling bottles, he shouted. What is you putting in them?
Nothing that would interest you, the BFG answered. You is only interested in guzzling human beans.
And you is dotty as a dog's woggler, cried the blood bottler.
Soon the blood bottler would be coming back, Sophie told herself, and he was bound to search the tabletop. But she couldn't possibly jump off the table. It was 12 feet high. She'd break a leg. The snozcumber, although it was as thick as a perambulator, was not going to hide her if the blood bottler picked it up. She examined the chewed-off end. It had large seeds in the middle, each one as big as a melon. They were embedded in soft, slimy stuff. Taking care to stay out of sight, Sophie reached forward and scooped away half a dozen of these seeds. This left a hole in the middle of the snozcumber large enough for her to crouch in so long as she rolled herself up into a ball. She crawled into it. It was a wet and slimy hiding place. But what did that matter if it was going to save her from being eaten? The blood bottler and the BFG were coming back towards the table now. The BFG was nearly fainting with fear. Any moment, he was telling himself, Sophie would be discovered and eaten. Suddenly, the blood bottler grabbed the half-eaten snozcumber. The BFG stared at the bare table.
Sophie, where is you? He thought desperately. You cannot possibly be jumping off that high table. So where is you hiding, Sophie?
So, this is the filthy, rotsome garbage you is eating, boomed the blood bottler, holding up the partly-eaten snozcumber. You must be cockles to be guzzling such rub-squash.
For a moment, the blood bottler seemed to have forgotten about his search for Sophie. The BFG decided to lead him further off the track.
That is the scrumdiddlyumptious snozcumber, he said.
I is guzzling it gleefully every night and day. Is you never trying a snozcumber, blood bottler?
Human beings is juicier, the blood bottler said.
You is talking rummy tot, the BFG said, growing braver by the second.
He was thinking that if only he could get the blood bottler to take one bite of the repulsive vegetable, the sheer foulness of its flavour would send him bellowing out of the cave.
I is happy to let you sample it, the BFG went on. But please, when you see how truly glumptious it is, do not be guzzling the whole thing. Leave me a little snitchit for my supper.
The blood bottler stared suspiciously with small piggy eyes at the snozcumber. Sophie, crouching inside the chewed-off end, began to tremble all over.
You is not switch-fiddling me, is you?
Said the blood bottler.
Never!
Cried the BFG passionately.
Take a bite, and I am positive you will be shouting out, Oh, how scrumdiddlyumptious this wonder veg is!
The BFG could see the greedy blood bottler's mouth beginning to water more than ever at the prospect of extra food.
Vegetables is very good for you, he went on. It is not wholesome always to be eating meaty things. Just this once, the blood bottler said. I is going to taste these rotsome eats of yours. But I is warning you that if it is filsome, I is smashing it over your slutty little head.
He picked up the snozcumber. He began raising it on its long journey to his mouth, some 50 feet up in the air. Sophie wanted to scream, Don't! But that would have been an even more certain death. Crouching among the slimy seeds, she felt herself being lifted up and up and up. Suddenly, there was a crunch as the blood bottler bit a huge hunk off the end. Sophie saw his yellow teeth clamping together a few inches from her head. Then, there was utter darkness. She was in his mouth. She caught a whiff of his evil-smelling breath. It stank of bad meat. She waited for the teeth to go crunch once more. She prayed that she would be killed quickly.
Ugh! Roared the blood bottler. Ugh, Welch! Ish!
And then he spat. All of the great lumps of snozcumber that were in his mouth, as well as Sophie herself, went shooting out across the cave. If Sophie had struck the stony wall of the cave, she would most certainly have been killed. Instead, she hit the soft folds of the BFG's black cloak hanging against the wall. She dropped to the ground, half stunned. She crawled under the hem of the cloak, and there she crouched.
You little swine bugger, roared the blood bottler. You little pig swiller.
He rushed at the BFG and smashed what was left of the snozcumber over his head. Fragments of the filthy vegetable splashed all over the cave.
You is not loving it?
The BFG asked innocently, rubbing his head.
Loving it, yelled the blood bottler. That is the most disgustrous taste that is ever clutching my teeth. You must be buggles to be swallowing sludge like that. Every night you could be galloping off happy as a hamburger and gobbling juicy human beans.
Eating human beings is wrong and evil, the BFG said.
It is ghastly and glumptious,
shouted the blood bottler.
And tonight I is galloping off to Chile to swabble a few human chili beans. Is you wishing to know why I is choosing chili?
I is not wishing to know anything, the BFG said, very dignified.
I is choosing chili, the blood bottler said, because I is fed up with a taste of Eskimos. It is important I has plenty of coal eats in this scuddling hot weather. And the next coldest thing to an Eskimo is a chili bean. Human beans from Chile. is very chilly.
Horrible, the BFG said. You ought to be ashamed.
Other giants is all saying they's wanting to gallop off to England tonight to guzzle school chidlers,
the blood bottler said.
I is very fond indeed of English school chidlers. They has a nice inky booky flavour. Perhaps I will change my mind and go to England with them.
You is disgusting, the BFG said.
And you is an insult to the giant peoples, shouted the blood bottler. You is not fit to be a giant. You is a squinky little squiddler. You is a pibbling little pit-squeak. You is a cream puffnut.
With that, the horrible blood-bottling giant strode out of the cave. The BFG ran to the cave entrance and quickly rolled the stone back into place.
Sophie, he whispered. Sophie, where is you, Sophie?
Sophie emerged from under the hem of the black cloak.
I'm here, she said.
The BFG picked her up and held her tenderly in the palm of his hand.
Oh, I is so happy to be finding you all in one lump, he said. I was in his mouth, Sophie said.
You was what?
Cried the BFG. Sophie told him what had happened.
And there I was, telling him to eat the fulsome snozcumber, and you was all the time inside it,
the BFG cried.
Not much fun, Sophie said. Oh, just look at you, you poor little chidler, cried the BFG. You is all covered in snozcumber and giant spit.
He set about cleaning her up as best he could.
I is hating those other giants more than ever now, he said.
You know what I should like?
What? Sophie said.
I should like to find a way of disappearing them. Every single one.
I'd be glad to help you, Sophie said. Let me see if I can't think up a way of doing it.
Frobscottle and Whizpoppers. By now, Sophie was beginning to feel not only extremely hungry, but very thirsty as well. Had she been at home, she would have finished her breakfast long ago.
Are you sure there's nothing else to eat around here, except those disgusting smelly snozcumbers? She asked.
Not even a fizzwinkle, answered the big friendly giant.
In that case, may I please have a little water? She said.
Water? Said the BFG, frowning mightily. What is water?
We drink it, Sophie said. What do you drink?
Frobscottle, announced the BFG. All giants is drinking frobscottle.
Is it as nasty as your snozcumbers? Sophie asked.
Nasty? Cried the BFG. Never is it nasty. Frobscottle is sweet and jumbly.
He got up from his chair and went to a second huge cupboard. He opened it and took out a glass bottle that must have been 6 feet tall. The liquid inside it was pale green, and the bottle was half full.
Here is Frobscottle, he cried,
holding the bottle up proud and high, as though it contained some rare wine.
Delumptious fizzy Frobscottle, he shouted.
He gave it a shake, and the green stuff began to fizz like mad.
But look, it's fizzing the wrong way, Sophie cried,
and indeed it was. The bubbles, instead of travelling upwards and bursting on the surface, were shooting downwards and bursting at the bottom. A pale green, frothy fizz was forming at the bottom of the bottle.
What on earth is you meaning? The wrong way? Asked the BFG.
In our fizzy drinks, Sophie said, the bubbles always go up and burst at the top.
Upwards is the wrong way, cried the BFG. You mustn't ever be having the bubbles going upwards. That's the most flush, bunking rubbish I ever is hearing.
Why did you say that?
Sophie asked.
"You is asking me why?" cried the BFG, waving the enormous bottle around as though he were conducting an orchestra. "You is actually meaning to tell me you cannot see why it is a scrutty mistake to have the bubbles flying up instead of down."
"You said it was flush bunking. Now you say it's scrotty."
"Which is it?" Sophie asked politely.
"Both!" cried the BFG. "It is a flush bunking and a scrotty mistake to let the bubbles go upwards. If you can't see why, you must be as quacky as a duck hound. Boy, Ringo, your head must be so full of frog squinkers and buzzwangles, I is fretted if I know how you can think at all."
"Why shouldn't the bubbles go upward?" Sophie asked.
"I will explain," said the BFG.
"But tell me first, what name is you calling your Frobscottle boy?"
"One is Coke," Sophie said, "another is Pepsi. There are lots of them."
"And the bubbles is all going up?"
"They all go up," Sophie said.
"Catastrophe!" cried the BFG. "Upgoing bubbles is a catastrophe distastrophe."
"Will you please tell me why?" Sophie said.
"If you listen carefully, I will try to explain," said the BFG. "But your brain is so full of bug whiffles, I doubt you will ever understand."
"I'll do my best," Sophie said patiently.
"Very well, then. When you is drinking this cokey drink of yours," said the BFG, "it is going straight down into your tummy. Is that right, or is it left?"
"It's right," Sophie said.
"And the bubbles is going also into your tummy, right or left?"
"Right again," Sophie said.
"And the bubbles is fizzing upwards?"
"Of course," Sophie said.
"Which means," said the BFG, "that they will all come swish-whiffling up your throat and out of your mouth and make a foulsome, belchy burp."
"That is often true," Sophie said. "But what's wrong with a little burp now and again? It's sort of fun."
"Burping is filthsome," the BFG said. "Us giants is never doing it."
"But with your drink," Sophie said. "What was it you called it?"
"Frobscottle," said the BFG.
"With Frobscottle," Sophie said, "the bubbles in your tummy will be going downwards, and that could have a far nastier result."
"Why nasty?" asked the BFG, frowning.
"Because," Sophie said, blushing a little, "if they go down instead of up, they'll be coming out somewhere else with an even louder and ruder noise."
"A whiz-popper!" cried the BFG, beaming at her. "Us giants is making whiz-poppers all the time. Whiz-popping is a sign of happiness. It is music in our ears. You surely is not telling me that a little whiz-popping is forbidden among human beings?"
"It is considered extremely rude," Sophie said.
"But you is whiz-popping, is you not, now and again?" asked the BFG.
"Everyone is whiz-popping, if that's what you call it," Sophie said. "Kings and queens are whiz-popping. Presidents are whiz-popping. Glamorous film stars are whiz-popping. Little babies are whiz-popping. But where I come from, it is not polite to talk about it."
"Redunculous," said the BFG. "If everyone is making whiz-poppers, then why not talk about it? We's now having a swiggle of this delicious frobscottle, and you will see the happy result."
The BFG shook the bottle vigorously. The pale green stuff fizzed and bubbled. He removed the cork and took a tremendous gurgling swig.
"It's glummy," he cried. "I love it."
For a few moments, the big friendly giant stood quite still, and a look of absolute ecstasy began to spread over his long, wrinkly face. Then suddenly, the heavens opened, and he let fly with a series of the loudest and rudest noises Sophie had ever heard in her life. They reverberated around the walls of the cave like thunder, and the glass jars rattled on their shelves. But most astonishing of all, the force of the explosions
actually lifted the enormous giant clear of his feet like a rocket.
Whoopee!
He cried when he came down to earth again. Now that is whiz-popping for you.
Sophie burst out laughing. She couldn't help it. Have some yourself,
cried the BFG, tibbing the neck of the enormous bottle towards her.
Don't you have a cup? Sophie said.
No cups, only bottle.
Sophie opened her mouth, and very gently the BFG tipped the bottle forward and poured some of the fabulous frobscottle down her throat.
And, oh, gosh, how delicious it was! It was sweet and refreshing. It tasted of vanilla and cream, with just the faintest trace of raspberries on the edge of the flavour. And the bubbles were wonderful. Sophie could actually feel them bouncing and bursting all around her tummy. It was an amazing sensation. It felt as though hundreds of tiny people were dancing a jig inside her and tickling her with their toes. It was lovely.
It's lovely, she cried.
Just wait, said the BFG, flapping his ears.
Sophie could feel the bubbles travelling lower and lower down her tummy, and then suddenly, inevitably, the explosion came. The trumpets sounded, and she too made the walls of the cavern ring with the sound of music and thunder.
Bravo! Shouted the BFG, waving the bottle. You is very good for a beginner.
Let's have some more.
Journey to Dream Country. After the mad frobscottle party was over, Sophie settled herself again on top of the enormous table.
You is feeling better now? Asked the big friendly giant.
Much better, thank you, Sophie said.
Whenever I is feeling a bit scrotty, the BFG said, a few gollops of frobscottle is always making me hopscotchy again.
I must say, it's quite an experience, Sophie said.
It's a Raz Twizzler, the BFG said. It's gloriumptious.
He turned away and strode across the cave and picked up his dream-catching net.
I is galloping off now, he said, to catch some more wopsy-whiffling dreams for my collection. I is doing this every day without missing. Is you wishing to come with me?
Oh, not me, thank you very much, Sophie said. Not with those other giants lurking outside.
I is snuggling you very cozy into the pocket of my waistcoat, the BFG said. Then no one is seeing you.
Before Sophie could protest, he had picked her up off the table and popped her into the waistcoat pocket. There was plenty of room in there.
Is you wishing for a little hole to peep out from? He asked her.
There's one here already, she said. She had found a small hole in the pocket, and when she put one eye close to it, she could see out very well indeed. She watched the BFG as he bent down and filled his suitcase with empty glass jars. He closed the lid, picked up the suitcase in one hand, took the pole with the net on the end in the other hand, and marched towards the entrance of the cave. As soon as he was outside, the BFG set off across the great hot yellow wasteland, where the blue rocks lay and the dead trees stood and where all the other giants were skulking about. Sophie, squatting low on her heels in the pocket of the leather waistcoat, had one eye glued to the little hole. She saw the group of enormous giants about 300 yards ahead.
Hold your breaths, the BFG whispered down to her. Cross your figglers. Here we go. We is going right past all these other giants. Is you seeing that whopping great one, the one nearest to us?
I see him, Sophie whispered back, quivering.
That is the horriblest of them all, and the biggest of them all. He is called the Flesh-Lump-Eating Giant.
I don't want to hear about him, Sophie said.
He is 54 feet high, the BFG said softly as he jogged along. And he is swallowing human beings like they is sugar lumps, 2 or 3 at a time.
You're making me nervous, Sophie said.
I is nervous myself, the BFG whispered. I always gets as jumpy as a jog hopper when the flesh lump eating giant is around.
keep away from him,
Sophie pleaded.
Not possible, the BFG answered. He is galloping easily 2 times as quicksy as me.
Shall we turn back? Sophie said.
Turning back is worse, the BFG said. If they is seeing me running away, they is all giving chase and throwing rocks.
They would never eat you, though, would they? Sophie asked.
Giants is never guzzling other giants, the BFG said. They is fighting and squarreling a lot with each other, but never guzzling. Human beings is more tasty to them.
The giants had already spotted the BFG and all heads were turned, watching him as he jogged forward. He was aiming to pass well to the right of the group. Through her little peephole, Sophie saw the flesh-lump-eating giant moving over to intercept them. He didn't hurry. He just loped over casually to a point where the BFG would have to pass. The others loped after him. Sophie counted 9 of them altogether, and she recognized the blood bottler in the middle of them. They were bored. They had nothing to do until nightfall. There was an air of menace about them as they loped slowly across the plain with long, lolloping strides, heading for the BFG.
Here comes the runty one,
boomed the flesh-lump eater.
Ho, ho there, runty one. Where is you splatch-winkling away to in such a hefty hurry?
He shot out an enormous arm and grabbed the BFG by the hair. The BFG didn't struggle. He simply stopped and stood quite still and said,
"Be so kind as to be letting go of my hair, flesh-lump-eater."
The flesh-lump-eater released him and stepped back a pace. The other giant stood around, waiting for the fun to start.
"Now then, you little grob-squiffler,"
boomed the flesh-lump-eater,
"with all of us wanting to know where you is galloping off to every day in the daytime. Nobody ought to be galloping off to anywhere until it is getting dark. The human beings could easily be spotting you and starting a giant hunt, and we is not wanting that to happen, is we not?"
"We is not," shouted the other giants. "Go back to your cave, runty one."
"I is not galloping to any human being country," the BFG said. "I is going to other places."
"I is thinking," said the flesh-lump eater, "that you is catching human beings and keeping them as pets." "Right you is," cried the blood bottler. "Just now I is hearing him chittering away to one of them in his cave."
"You is welcome to go and search my cave from frack to bunt," the BFG answered. "You can go looking into every crook and alley. There is no human beans or stringy beans or runner beans or jelly beans or any other beans in here."
Sophie crouched still as a mouse inside the BFG's pocket. She hardly dared breathe. She was terrified she might sneeze. The slightest sound or movement would give her away. Through the tiny peephole, she watched the giants clustering around the poor BFG. How revolting they were. All of them had piggy little eyes and enormous mouths with thick sausage lips. When the flesh-lump eater was speaking, she got a glimpse of his tongue. It was jet black, like a slab of black steak. Every one of them was more than twice as tall as the BFG. Suddenly, the flesh-lump-eater shot out 2 enormous hands and grabbed the BFG around the waist. He tossed him high in the air and shouted,
"Catch him, man-hugger!"
The man-hugger caught him. The other giants spread out quickly in a large circle, each giant about 20 yards from his neighbor, preparing for the game they were going to play. Now the man-hugger threw the BFG high and far, shouting,
"Catch him, bone cruncher!"
The bone cruncher ran forward and caught the tumbling BFG and immediately swung him up again.
"Catch him, chow chewer!"
he shouted, and so it went on. The giants were playing ball with the BFG. vying with each other to see who could throw him the highest. Sophie dug her nails into the sides of the pocket, trying to prevent herself from tumbling out when she was upside down. She felt as though she were in a barrel going over the Niagara Falls. And all the time, there was the fearful danger that one of the giants would fail to catch the BFG, and he would go crashing to the ground.
Catch him, meat dripper!
Catch him, Gizzle Gulper!
Catch him, Maid Masher!
Catch him, Blood Butler!
Catch him!
Catch him!
Catch him!
In the end, they got bored with this game. They dumped the poor BFG on the ground. He was dazed and shattered. They gave him a few kicks and shouted,
"Run, you little runt! Let us be seeing how fast you is galloping!"
The BFG ran. What else could he do? The giants picked up rocks and hurled them after him. He managed to dodge them.
"Ruddy little runt!" they shouted.
"Chuggy little twit, shriveling little shrimp, mucky little midget, squoggy little squib, grubby little grub!"
At last the BFG got clear of them all, and in another couple of minutes, the pack of giants was out of sight over the horizon. Sophie popped her head up from the pocket. "I didn't like that," she said.
"Phew," said the BFG. "Few and far between. They was in a nasty crutching mood today, was they not? Oh, you sorry you was having such a whirlgig time."
"No worse than you," Sophie said. "Would they ever really hurt you?"
"I isn't ever trusting them," the BFG said.
"How do they actually catch the humans they eat?" Sophie asked.
"They is usually just sticking an arm in through the bedroom window and snitching them from their beds," the BFG said.
"Like you did to me."
"Har, but I isn't eating you," the BFG said.
"How else do they catch them?" Sophie asked.
"Sometimes," the BFG said, "they is swimming in from the sea like fishies, with only their head showing above the water, and then out comes a big hairy hand and grabbles someone off the beach."
"Children as well?"
"Often chidlers," the BFG said. "Little chidlers who is building sand castles on the beach. That is who the swimmeling ones are after. Little chidlers is not so tough to eat as old grandmama, so says the child-chewing giant."
As they talked, the BFG was galloping fast over the land. Sophie was standing right up in his waistcoat pocket now and holding on to the edge with both hands. Her head and shoulders were in the open and the wind was blowing in her hair. "How else do they catch people?" she asked.
"All of them is having their own special ways of catching the human being," the BFG said. "The meat-dripping giant is preferring to pretend he is a big tree growing in the park. He is standing in the park in the dusky evening, and he is holding great big branches over his head. And there he is waiting until some happy families is coming to have a picnic under the spreading tree. The meat-dripping giant is watching them as they lay out their little picnic. But in the end, it is the meat-dripper who is having the picnic."
"It's too awful," Sophie cried.
"The gizzard-gulping giant is a city lover," the BFG went on. "The gizzard-gulper is lying high up between the roofs of houses and the big cities. He is lying there snugly as a snickler and watching the human beings walking on the street below. And when he sees one that looks like it has a whopsy good flavor, he grabs it. He is simply reaching down and snitching it off the street like a monkey taking a nut. He says it is nice to be able to pick and choose what you is having for your supper. He says it is like choosing from a menu."
"Don't people see him doing it?" Sophie asked.
"Never is they seeing him. Do not forget, it is dusky dark at this time. Also, the gizzard gulper has a very fast arm. His arm is going up and down quicker than Squinker's."
"But if all these people are disappearing every night, surely there's some sort of an outcry," Sophie said.
"The world is a whopping big place," the BFG said. "It has 100 different countries. The giants is clever. They is careful not to be skid-diddling off to the same country too often. They is always switch-fiddling around."
"Even so," Sophie said.
Do not forget, the BFG said, that human beings is disappearing everywhere all the time, even without the giants is guzzling them up. Human beings is killing each other much quicker than the giants is doing it.
But they don't eat each other, Sophie said.
Giants isn't eating each other either, the BFG said. Nor is giants killing each other. Giants is not very lovely, but they is not killing each other. Nor is crocodile dillies killing other crocodile dillies. Nor is pussycats killing pussycats.
They kill mice, Sophie said.
Ah, but they is not killing their own kind, the BFG said. Human beings is the only animals that is killing their own kind.
Don't poisonous snakes kill each other? Sophie asked. She was searching desperately for another creature that behaved as badly as the human.
Even poisonous snakes is never killing each other, the BFG said. Nor is the most fearsome creatures, like tigers and rhinoceroses. None of them is ever killing their own kind. Have you ever thought about that?
Sophie kept silent.
I is not understanding human beings at all, the BFG said. You is a human being, and you is saying it is grizzling and horrigus for giants to be eating human beings. Right or left?
Right, Sophie said.
But human beings is squishing each other all the time, the BFG said. They is shooting guns and going up in aeroplanes to drop their bombs on each other's heads every week. Human beings is always killing other human beings.
He was right. Of course he was right, and Sophie knew it. She was beginning to wonder whether humans were actually any better than giants. Even so, she said, defending her own race, I think it's rotten that those foul giants should go off every night to eat humans. Humans have never done them any harm.
That is what the little piggy-wiggy is saying every day, the BFG answered. He is saying,
I has never done any harm to the human being, so why should he be eating me?
Oh dear, Sophie said.
The human beings is making rules to suit themselves, the BFG went on. But the rules they is making do not suit the little piggy-wiggies.
Am I right or left? Right, Sophie said.
Giants is also making rules. Their rules is not suiting the human beings. Everybody is making his own rules to suit himself.
But you don't like it that those beastly giants are eating humans every night, do you? Sophie asked.
I do not, the BFG answered firmly. One right is not making two lefts. Is you quite cozy down there in my pocket?
I'm fine, Sophie said. Then suddenly, once again, the BFG went into that magical top gear of his. He began hurtling forward with phenomenal leaps. His speed was unbelievable. The landscape became blurred, and again Sophie had to duck down out of the whistling gale to save her head from being blown off her shoulders. She crouched in the pocket and listened to the wind screaming past. It came knifing in through the tiny peephole in the pocket and whooshed around her like a hurricane. But this time, the BFG didn't stay in top gear long. It seemed as though he had had some barrier to cross, a vast mountain perhaps, or an ocean, or a great desert. But having crossed it, he once again slowed down to his normal gallop, and Sophie was able to pop her head up and look out once more at the view. She noticed immediately that they were now in an altogether paler country. The sun had disappeared above a film of vapour. The air was becoming cooler every minute. The land was flat and treeless, and there seemed to be no colour in it at all. Every minute, the mist became thicker. The air became colder still, and everything became paler and paler, until soon there was nothing but grey and white all around them. They were in a country of swirling mists and ghostly vapours. There was some sort of grass underfoot, but it was not green. It was ashy grey. There was no sign of a living creature, and no sound at all, except for the soft thud of the BFG's footsteps as he hurtled on through the fog. Suddenly, he stopped.
"We is here at last," he announced.
He bent down and lifted Sophie from his pocket and put her on the ground. She was still in her nightie, and her feet were bare. She shivered and stared around her at the swirling mists and ghostly vapours.
"Where are we?" she asked.
"We is in dream country," the BFG said. "This is where all dreams is beginning."
Dream catching. The big friendly giant put the suitcase on the ground. He bent down low so that his enormous face was close to Sophie's.
"From now on, we is keeping as still as winky little mices," he whispered.
Sophie nodded. The misty vapor swirled around her. It made her cheeks damp and left dewdrops in her hair. The BFG opened the suitcase and took out several empty glass jars. He set them ready on the ground, with their screw tops removed. Then he stood up very straight. His head was now high up in the swirling mist, and it kept disappearing, then appearing again. He was holding the long net in his right hand. Sophie, staring upwards, saw through the mist that his colossal ears were beginning to swivel out from his head. They began waving gently to and fro. Suddenly, the BFG pounced. He leapt high in the air and swung the net through the mist with a great swishing sweep of his arm.
"Got him!" he cried. "A jar! A jar! Quick, quick, quick!"
Sophie picked up a jar and held it up to him. He grabbed hold of it. He lowered the net. Very carefully, he tipped something absolutely invisible from the net into the jar. He dropped the net and swiftly clapped one hand over the jar.
"The top," he whispered. "The jar's top, quick!"
Sophie picked up the screw top and handed it to him. He screwed it on tight and the jar was closed. The BFG was very excited. He held the jar close to one ear and listened intently.
"It's a wink squiffler," he whispered with a thrill in his voice. It's even better. It's a fizz wizard. It's a golden fizz wizard."
Sophie stared at him.
"Oh my. Oh my," he said, holding the jar in front of him. "This will be giving some little toddler a very happy night when I is blowing it in."
"Is it really a good one?" Sophie asked.
"A good one?" he cried. "It's a golden fizz wizard. It is not often I is getting one of these."
He handed the jar to Sophie and said,
"Please be still as a starfish now. Are you thinking there may be a whole swarm of fizz wizards up here today? And do kindly stop breathing. You is terribly noisy down there."
"I haven't moved a muscle," Sophie said.
"Then don't,"
the BFG answered sharply. Once again, he stood up tall in the mist, holding his net at the ready. Then came the long silence, the waiting, the listening. And at last, with surprising suddenness, came the leap and the swish of the net.
"Another jar," he cried. "Quick, quick, quick!"
When the second dream was safely in the jar and the top was screwed down, the BFG held it to his ear.
"Oh, no," he cried. "Oh, mince my maggots. Oh, swipe my swoggles."
"What's the matter?" Sophie asked.
"It's a truggle humper!"
he shouted. His voice was filled with fury and anguish.
"Oh, save our solos!" he cried. "Deliver us from weasels! The devil is dancing on my dibbler!"
"What are you talking about?" Sophie said.
The BFG was getting more distressed every moment.
"Oh, bash my eye bones!" he cried, waving the jar in the air. "I come all this way to get lovely golden dreams, and what is I catching?"
"What are you catching?" Sophie said.
"I is catching a frightsome truggle humper," he cried. "This is a bad, bad dream. It is worse than a bad dream. It is a nightmare."
"Oh, dear," Sophie said. "What will you do with that?"
"I is never, never letting it go," the BFG cried. "If I do, then some poor little toddler will be having the most curd-bloodling time. This one is a real kicksy bog thumper. I is exploding it as soon as I get home."
"Nightmares are horrible," Sophie said. "I had one once, and I woke up sweating all over."
"With this one, you would be waking up screaming all over," the BFG said. "This one would make your teeth stand on end if this one got into you.
Your blood would be freezing to icicles, and your skin would go creeping across the floor. Is it as bad as that? It's worse, cried the BFG. This is a real wopsy grob switcher. You said it was a truggle humper, Sophie told him. It is a truggle humper, cried the exasperated BFG. But it is also a bog thumper and a grob switcher. It is all three riddled into one. Oh, I is so glad I is clutching it tight. Are you wicked beastie, you, he cried, holding up the jar and staring into it. Nevermore is you going to be bunk-doodling the poor little human beanie toddlers. Sophie, who was also staring into the glass jar, cried out. I can see it. There's something in there. Of course there is something in there, the BFG said. You is looking at a frightsome truggle humper. But you told me dreams were invisible. They is always invisible until they is captured, the BFG told her. After that, they is losing a little of their invisibility. We is seeing this one very clearly. Inside the jar, Sophie could see the faint scarlet outline of something that looked like a mixture between a blob of gas and a bubble of jelly. It was moving violently, thrashing against the sides of the jar and forever changing shape. It's wiggling all over the place, Sophie cried. It's fighting to get out. It'll bash itself to bits. The nastier the dream, the angrier it is getting when it is in prison, the BFG said. It is the same as with wild animals. If an animal is very fierce and you is putting it in a cage, it will make a tremendous rumple-dumpus. If it is a nice animal, like a cockle-toodle-too or a foggle-frump, it will sit quietly. Dreams is exactly the same. This one is a nasty, fierce, bog-rotting nightmare. Just look at him splashing himself against the glass. It's quite frightening, Sophie cried. I would be hating to get this one inside me on a darksome night, the BFG said. So would I, Sophie said. The BFG started putting the bottles back into the suitcase. Is that all? Sophie asked. Are we going? I am so upset by this truggle-humping, bog-thumping grob-switcher, the BFG said, that I is not wishing to go on. Dream-catching is finished for today. Soon Sophie was back in the waistcoat pocket, and the BFG was racing home as fast as he could go. When, at last, they emerged out of the mist and came again onto the hot yellow wasteland, all the other giants were sprawled out on the ground, fast asleep. A truggle humper for the flesh lump eater. They is always having 50 winks before they go scampering off to hunt human beings in the evening, the BFG said. He stopped for a few moments to let Sophie have a better look. Giants is only sleeping every then and now, he said. Not nearly as much as human beings. Human beings is crazy for sleeping. Is it ever occurring to you that a human being who is 50 is spending about 20 years sleeping fast? I must admit that never occurred to me, Sophie said. You should allow it to occur to you, the BFG said. Imagine it, please. This human being, who says he is 50, has been fast asleep for 20 years and is not even knowing where he is. Not even doing anything. Not even thinking. It's a funny thought, Sophie said. Exactly, the BFG said. So what I is trying to explain to you is that a human being who says he is 50 is not 50. He is only 30. What about me? Sophie said. I am 8. You is not 8 at all, the BFG said. Human being babies and little chidlers is spending half their time sleeping. So you is only 4. I'm 8, Sophie said. You may think you is 8, the BFG said. But you has only spent 4 years of your life with your little eyes open. You is only 4, and please stop higgling me. Titchy little snapper whippers like you should not be higgling around with an old sage and onions who is hundreds of years more than you. How much do giants sleep? Sophie asked. They is never wasting much time snozzling, the BFG said. 2 or 3 hours is enough. When do you sleep? Sophie asked.
Even less, the BFG answered. I is sleeping only once in a blue baboon.
Sophie, peeping out from her pocket, examined the 9 sleeping giants. They looked even more grotesque now than when they were awake. Sprawled out across the yellow plain, they covered an area about the size of a football field. Most of them were lying on their backs with their enormous mouths wide open, and they were snoring like foghorns. The noise was awful. Suddenly, the BFG gave a jump in the air.
By Gumfrog, he cried. I is just having the most whopsy-whifflin idea.
What? Sophie said.
Wait, he cried. Hold your horse feathers. Keep your skirt on. Just you wait to see what I is going to bring about.
He galloped off fast to his cave with Sophie hanging on tight to the rim of his pocket. He rolled back the stone. He entered the cave. He was very excited. He was moving quickly.
You stay where you is in my pocket, Huggy Bee, he said. We is doing this lovely bit of buck swashling both together.
He laid aside the dream-catching net, but hung on to the suitcase. He ran across to the other side of the cave and grabbed the long trumpet thing, the one he had been carrying when Sophie had first seen him in the village. With the suitcase in one hand and the trumpet in the other, he dashed out of the cave.
What is he up to now? Sophie wondered. Peep your head up good, the BFG said. Then you will get a fine winkle of what is going on.
When the BFG came near to the sleeping giants, he slowed his pace. He began moving softly. He crept on his toes towards the ugly brutes. They were still snoring loudly. They looked repulsive, filthy, diabolical. The BFG tiptoed around them. He went past the gizzard gulper, the blood bottler, the meat dripper, the child chewer. Then he stopped. He had reached the flesh lump eater. He pointed at him, and then he looked down at Sophie and gave her a big wink. He knelt on the ground, and very quietly he opened the suitcase. He took out of it the glass jar containing the terrible, nightmarish Troggle Humper. At that point, Sophie guessed what was going to happen next.
Ouch! She thought, this could be rather dangerous.
She crouched lower in the pocket so that only the top of her head and her eyes were showing. She wanted to be ready to duck out of sight very fast should anything go wrong. They were about 10 feet away from the flesh lump eater's face. The snoring, snorting noise he was making was disgusting. Every now and again, a big bubble of spit formed between his 2 open lips, and then it would burst with a splash and cover his face with saliva. Taking infinite care, the BFG unscrewed the top of the glass jar and tipped the squiggling, squirming, faintly scarlet Troggle Humper into the wide end of his long trumpet. He put the other end of the trumpet to his lips. He aimed the instrument directly at the flesh lump eater's face. He took a deep breath, puffed out his cheeks, and then, woof, he blew. Sophie saw a flash of pale red go darting towards the giant's face. For a split second, it hovered above the face. Then it was gone. It seemed to have been sucked up the giant's nose, but it had all happened so quickly, Sophie couldn't be sure.
We had better be skithering away quick to where it is safe, the BFG whispered.
He trotted off for about 100 yards. Then he stopped. He crouched low to the earth.
Now, he said, we is waiting for the gun and flames to begin.
They didn't have long to wait. The air was suddenly pierced by the most fearful roar Sophie had ever heard, and she saw the flesh lump eater's body, all 54 feet of it, rise up off the ground and fall back again with a thump. Then it began to wriggle and twist and bounce about in the most violent fashion. It was quite frightening to watch.
Arrgh!
Roared the flesh lump eater.
Arrgh!
He's still asleep, the BFG whispered. The terrible trogger-humping nightmare is beginning to hit him.
Serves him right,
Sophie said. She could feel no sympathy for this great brute who ate children as though they were sugar lumps.
Save us, screamed the flesh lump eater, thrashing about madly. He's after me. He's getting me.
The thrashing of limbs and the waving of arms became more violent by the second. It was an awesome thing to watch, such a massive creature having such mighty convulsions.
Hiss!